Welcome back to Classical Guitar Insider. This is your host, Brett Williams, and today on the show, it's jazz guitarist extraordinaire Randy Napoleon. We talk about Detroit just like James Lentini and I did. I believe that's right. I've been sitting on this one for a while, and I don't know why, because it's a pretty good interview. It's not just a pretty good interview, it's a good interview. The show is sponsored by Encoda.com. That's Encoda.com. You can go there and you can download. It's a subscription service where you can download millions, billions, possibly trillions. Don't quote me on that. Pages of sheet music. Right? Anything you want's there. You can explore what their musicologists have cataloged. Then you can mark up your scores. You can curate your own playlist. And then you can share that with your friends. You can work offline. You can upload your own scores if you're writing your own music. And you can play hands-free when you pair one of your electronic devices with a Bluetooth pedal. That's right. You don't need to pay a page turner anymore or make one of your students do it. You can try it for free if you tell them that I sent you. You could try it for free no matter what, because they're being very good about paying me up front. That's Encoda, Encoda.com. I can't stress it enough. I think it's a great thing, and a lot of you have been going over there, and I appreciate that. I also appreciate some of the reviews you guys have left about the new show, themusichistorypodcast.com. I can tell you guys are reviewing it because all of the usernames of the people that are reviewing, most of them have guitar in it. So I know that it's you, and I appreciate it. That's nice. That's very nice of you. Thank you. It's a real hard show to get off the ground, I got to be honest, because the podcast landscape is not what it was 8 years ago when I started this show. This show was, if I may say, it was a little bit of an overnight success, but that's only because there weren't too many other shows going on. Now, you seriously can Google the Music History Podcast until your face turns blue and nothing happens. So I don't know what to do about that. It's a search engine optimization issue I thought I had it handled. I actually talked to a guy who had a similar show called Music History Podcast, and I asked him if I could use the name, and he was kind enough to let me use it. So I thought I had my bases covered, but the fact is, you can't search this show. So I don't know how to, make it too much of a grassroots effort if I'm dealing with that. The show's also anyway, so, we'll see what happens with this second show. I had high hopes, but we'll see. What I'm doing right now is I'm composing a lot. So that's nice. I'm back on the guitar. The fingers are all healed and everything's going pretty good. Not both fingers. I still got the right hand thing. We'll talk about that later. The show is sponsored by Richard Sage over at savageclassical.com. That's S-A-V-A-G-E classical.com. Go there and take a look at the best collection of classical guitars on the East Coast. That's Richard Sage's shop out there in Long Island. Just a quick drive out of the city, and you can get your hands on some of his fine instruments. So that's savageclassical.com, the longest sponsor of the show in the history of the show. The show is now approaching its eighth year. So I appreciate everybody listening, and I appreciate you supporting savageclassical.com. We're also sponsored by rosettapodcast.com/insider. You can go there, and you can get a great deal on a subscription to Rosetta Stone so you can learn the language of your choice. And that is what is going down, folks, with the sponsors today. So again, that is encoda.com, savageclassical.com, rosettapodcast.com/insider. I don't get a cent unless you go to the /insider. All right? The other two have taken care of me. I shouldn't be asking you as if you were here, but I hope your Christmases and Hanukkahs and everything were good. Hanukkah was late this year. That's exciting. And I hope your New Year was good. I spent New Year alone. I went with a friend. I was in San Francisco for it. I stayed in California for longer than I usually do. I usually go for 5-6 days. This time I went for 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. And it was, I got to actually, kind of go to a friend's house and spend the night. I got to spend some quality time with my nephew. I took him to Star Wars. It was just an Uncle Brett and Mr. Huck thing. His name is, people call him Huckleberry. He doesn't want to be called that anymore. It's Howard Charles is his name. I don't know if I should be saying the name of him, but he's a great guy. And I let him get an icy or a candy. And I thank God he chose an icy because I have a thing about getting an icy at a movie theater too. So the both of us were walking around with these giant icies. Unfortunately, they didn't have the classic icy cups with the red and the blue and the little bear on front. I don't really feel like I'm having the real experience when I'm just drinking out of a styrofoam cup. But we were cheersing each other and having a great time. And he likes Star Wars very much now because I like it, which is ridiculous because his wonderful father, my brother, likes Star Wars as much. But because that's his dad, Star Wars is kind of like not the coolest thing. But I was like, I really wanted to go see Star Wars. Nobody else wanted to go see Star Wars because my mom was sitting there whining because she, and I love you, Mom, but you were whining because you wanted to see Knives Out. And I know a lot of you listening to this are intellectually curious people who probably wanted to see Knives Out more than Star Wars. That's not the point. The point is that this is a tradition. And I had held off on seeing this Star Wars movie until I got home so that I could see it with my family. And then they were sort of erring on the side of making my mother happy. And no one was willing to go see Star Wars except for one guy. And that's my Huckleberry. So the two of us had a little boy's day. I took him to some frozen yogurt after. There's not much else to do in Elk Grove, California. Other than that, I did New Year's. I was with my buddy. I'm not going to say his name because I'm about to tell you what he did. But he's one of my best friends. I went to the hills and spent my time with one of my close friends up there. They have a little bed and breakfast. They put me up real nice. It was great. Then I drove on back through Sacramento, which is where the action was, and then I ended up in San Francisco for New Year's. So San Francisco was great. The only thing was is that my buddy got a little tired, if you know what I mean, and I had to take him home. He actually got so tired that there's a man at the door of this. There was a man at the door of this establishment that said, you need to get your buddy and take him home. So I took him home. I tucked him in. Gave him a little kiss on his forehead. Then I was like, the hell if I'm going to sit here and look at Instagram. It was like 11 o'clock. Literally, it was 11 o'clock. So I went back out. I was on Haight Street in San Francisco, right next to a park called Buena Vista Park. I think that's what it's called. Little hill there. And I went back to this place. It was called Deluxe. And there was a jazz band playing. And I toasted Auld Lang Syne by myself in my little outfit. And there were maybe a couple of, girls or something I could have talked to, but, I wanted them to do their own thing. And I did. I was really excited about, this last year has been really exciting for me because I am completely happy being alone. I'm being completely honest. I look at everybody who's in these relationships and you guys, honestly, you do nothing but bicker. You literally look like you want to kill each other. Especially going home where you're just going from house to house and you're visiting all these couples. I mean, the dysfunction in these relationships is on the verge of being lethal. And I think I've just really enjoyed my me time this year. And I hope I'm not settling into it and making it sort of getting into the bad habit of just getting into my little routine and stuff and not wanting people to interrupt the routine because I was told that by people that were single later in life. They're like, the issue is that you like things the way they are and somebody wants to come in and ask you to change things and you just get older and you don't really want to change the way you spend your Saturday. And that's true. I do. I'm a routine-based person. I think a lot of us are. It's because we don't have control over a lot of things as artists, but we do have control over whether we get up at 10 a.m. on a Saturday or not. That's something. So it's just for my own peace of mind, I kind of like knowing what the weekend's going to look like a little bit. And that's not the most attractive thing to the people I date. I was actually going to do a thing, but I think we're running out of time for the intro. We got to get on with Randy. But I was going to do a thing with you guys. I have it all queued up. I was going to go into the app, the little Hinge app here that I have, and you guys, because I am dating people and I'm enjoying it, But I wanted you to help me pick some people. And I was going to tell you their name, but I think we're out of time. I want to keep this to about 10 minutes. This would be like a whole intro here. You know, but I wanted to go through these people, not necessarily what they looked like, but I wanted to tell you what their answers to the questions on the app were. Like this person, we'll just call him a Pooh Bear, okay? It's not a him, it's a girl. But her name is Pooh Bear. How about that? So Pooh Bear says the key to her art is empathy. Pooh Bear is, 40. She's 5'9". She's from Philadelphia. She's liberal. She cares about reproductive justice, personal anatomy, and access for all women. That all sounds good, right? And you guys could tell me whether or not I should date this person. Pooh Bear. But we'll do that next time. I don't know if that's the right thing to do, if I should be sharing this information with you guys. I don't want to embarrass anybody I prospectively date or have a relationship with. But this is what's going on. I hope you guys are doing good. I'm feeling really great and optimistic about this year. And happy new year to everybody. Let's get on with it. Here is the fantastic jazz guitarist and my conversation with him, Randy Napoleon. First of all, we're talking about your name, Napoleon.
Okay.
And you were saying that you are, he's Corsican.
I believe so. I believe I believe he was Italian. Yeah, Bonaparte. So.
Bonaparte.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, Napoleon was Italian.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, that would have never occurred to me. Why? I feel like I know a lot about history, but well, I guess I don't know that. I don't know a lot about him.
Don't quote me religiously on this, but I think he was maybe Italian and grew up in France or something like that, or had some Italian heritage. But
my middle name is Hamilton.
Okay.
So
also Italian, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, I am obsessed. Or I always, as a kid, I was always obsessed with everything Hamilton.
Okay.
So by the time that everybody else learned about Hamilton, I already knew all that stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
I already
cool.
knew about Aaron Burr and all that stuff. Now it's like I used to have this specialized knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And now everybody knows about it. Now everybody knows everything. It's no fun.
Yeah.
But with Napoleon, did you feel the same way growing up? Were you like, this is, every time you heard his name, you kind of got tingles going down your spine?
Oh, well, you
that's
know,
not what happened when I thought about Alexander Hamilton.
You know, people would make the joke about, asking if you're related, and of course that's his first name, so
yeah.
The funny thing is I'm actually
I did the same thing, right? I'm
yeah,
like opening
yeah,
the episode.
It's cool though,
making
it's all
fun
right.
of your
I'm into it.
Name.
And I will say I identify with him in a some ways in that there's this little guy who's trying to take over everything, so I like that part
you're
of
not,
it.
You're not.
I'm not into the dictator stuff. I'm big in spirit.
You didn't strike me as little, but see, that's the thing. Everybody yeah. who's got these insecurities, I don't see them.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Do you see my mild rosacea?
No,
I don't have it. But I feel I just ran out of the thing. The thing is, what we should yeah. say is yeah. what happened.
That's right.
Which is that I forgot that this. I didn't forget. I had it on another day. I'm sure I had it another day.
Yeah.
Look at my calendar. There's nothing there. You call me. I'm eating yogurt. Being yeah. responsible.
Yeah, sure. That's impressive, too.
Thanks. Yeah, I was going to go down to this donut shop called Peter Pan down the street, but I decided to eat the yogurt.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, God, I'm killing it today.
Yeah, right.
I went to the gym. I'm doing the yogurt. I've got a couple of students scheduled early.
Awesome.
This is going to be a great day.
Yeah.
I'm doing everything I should. And then all of a sudden I get a call. You're saying, I'm going to be late. You were already supposed to be here.
Right.
And then we had to throw this together.
That's right.
And you've been very kind.
Oh, likewise.
More kind than the other guests.
Oh, okay.
But if this happened with another person, I'd probably be sweating hard.
Oh, yeah, no sweat, man.
You can see I'm sweating because I ran in and out of the shower. Anyway, let's get to it. So let's talk about the latest album. The one that Ron sent to me.
Great.
Because that's what I listened to it, and I was like, yeah, let's totally have him on.
Awesome.
But what happened with that? Like, what are the personnel on that? What's your lineup?
Well, the lineup is extensive. There were three different groups involved in this project. And, the overarching theme to me, and the reason why I called it Common Tones, is I was thinking about the relationship that I had with my teachers, as well as the relationship that I have with my students. I'm in my early 40s, and I'm kind of in the in the middle of my career, and I've spent most of my time playing with musicians who are much older than me. But at this point, I'm collaborating with people who are 20 years younger than me sometimes.
Yeah, that's definitely the case, isn't it?
And so, there, you know, actually, the first half of the record are with some former students who are, you know, making major names for themselves at this point. And the second half of it were with kind of some of the veteran musicians from the greater Detroit scene, who are my colleagues at Michigan State. So it was, you know, our professors.
So you're Michigan State, the Trojans.
That's right. Spartans.
The green ones.
Spartans.
Or the Spartans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, how is the Detroit jazz scene? It's got to be really, it's got to be something.
The Detroit jazz scene is profound and has been for really since the beginning of jazz. There's a long legacy of great music in Detroit. And, you know, I'm in particular interested in what happened in the late 50s and early 60s there. So many of the kind of visionary beboppers were from Detroit, people like Kenny Burrell and the Jones Brothers, Hank Jones, Thad Jones, Elvin Jones, Tommy Flanagan, Pepper Adams, Paul Chambers, so many more. So there was that element, and then there also was, you know, a little thing called Motown, which everybody knows about, and that was Detroit's contribution to, you know, pop, soul. And for me, growing up in Ann Arbor in the 90s, you know, when I started playing my first gigs in Ann Arbor and Detroit, there was really a natural fusion of kind of that strong soul tradition and kind of, you know, really dense and exciting harmony and rhythmic stuff coming out of the bebop.
Yeah, and you felt that? You felt that there was sort of like that hard drive coming out of it?
Totally.
More so than other places? Because you've lived out here. You lived here until 2014 or 17? Or what
2014,
was
yeah. Okay. That's when I moved back to Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, New York is, you know, the center of jazz. And everything exists here, which is the old expression was Detroit makes them, New York takes them.
Oh, that's
And that is usually true. But there, I do still feel that there's regional sounds, and there's certain kind of you know, priorities that come from different areas or influences that seep in, and you know, for me growing up, swing feeling was really a priority, both with the older musicians that I worked with and
the
audiences that
that had something to do with Motown too, or
well, it's the
funny
thing is,
you mean the swing, swinging the rhythm?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The, you know, a strongly danceable feeling in jazz as opposed to something that's more abstract or kind of ethereal, a real kind of like down home nitty gritty feeling of the music. You know, and then this bebop too. So, those things I took with me from, growing up in Michigan when I came to New York.
Do you feel like there's a hard, like you said, is there, we'll talk about regional styles now a little bit because you brought that up.
Yeah.
But you know, it, as far as like the regional style of Detroit, do you feel like it's got a harder regional style than other places, say like New Orleans, you know, which is sort of just steeped in
Well, New Orleans traditional has an incredible tradition as well,
right? But they've got their own sort of thing.
It is,
and it's definitely got it's got an edge, but I don't know if it's got what we would traditionally as Americans refer to as an edge.
It's a different
it's
kind of
older music.
There's the kind of the second line dance feeling, which
it's celebratory though.
Definitely.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to Detroit, which I'm assuming has just more of, like you're saying, it has a dance edge. But even Motown, for as much fun as they were having, there's also like an element of unrest and, you know,
I could see
cultural
that.
Dissonance. You know what I mean?
Well, like, certainly, you know, there's a lot of painful history in Detroit, you know, and also, unfortunately, a strong legacy of you know, oppression towards minorities, and that's a part of of the music too, but I think it comes out joyfully.
Do you think that
in terms of it comes out as a way of
cathartic,
yeah, overcoming or, you know, processing.
Now, you grew up in Ann Arbor, and that would mean that you are a University of Michigan fan who works at Michigan State.
Oh yeah,
right?
I'm a traitor. You can
are you really?
You can say that. You can say that.
Do you really? Do you root for the blue and gold or whatever they call themselves?
No, I'm totally Tom Michigan
Brady
State.
Loving.
I've totally defected, and my friends. Who
I mean, you're
I grew
old enough to
with,
know Tom Brady.
They're disgusted by me.
They
That's
are.
Right. Yeah.
They are. You defected.
I defected. Yeah.
I would defect. If I worked at the college.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't care where I went to school.
Yeah. Right.
Especially if you're at a big sports school like that. Do you watch some sports?
I'm.
You get into it when they're into it.
I'm lapsed. Yeah. I did when I was a kid, but I don't really follow it.
It's a good basketball school, right?
Yeah. And football and everything, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. As far as not what, who's got time for sports, right?
Right. Right. That's right.
But as far as like, you know, kind of getting into that edge, how did you approach moving into that community in 2014 after being in New York for such a long time? Were you able to hook up with some people that you knew? Did you study there? Did you study in the Midwest?
I did. I actually went to the rival school, University of Michigan.
There you
so
go.
I'm a double trader. But yeah, I mean, for me coming home, it was just like slipping on your favorite old, you know, baseball glove if we're going to stick with sports stuff.
Yeah, it was. It felt that way.
It felt really very comfortable for me coming home. You know, I still travel almost every weekend. I'll fly and I'll go to where my gigs are. But being back in the Midwest is beautiful. And, you know, I moved there to teach at Michigan State. And, the school is very supportive of what we're doing, and we really get just amazing students. And so that's been very, very special, great experience. And I like it. I like the slower pace of living, you know?
Yeah, you do. So where are you living? Are you living in the suburbs sort of?
I live in East
Lansing. House
and
kids, the wife, the whole thing.
I've got the whole thing. Yeah. I've got a house and I've got a wife and two kids. And,
are they from New York? Did you meet her in New York?
I met her in New York, but she's from Michigan also. So it's, everything was pulling me back, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she wanted to go back, too.
Yeah, it really
I can't believe you got that job, and you get the wife and the kids, too. It's just great.
It is super great. I'm a lucky guy.
What were you doing in New York? What were you doing? Were you playing out last night? I think you played. You came in last night.
I had a radio broadcast this morning from BGO, so I brought my band in, and we...
What's BGO? I'm sorry.
WBGO is the main jazz radio station in New York area.
Right.
So we did a like an interview and a performance.
I wish I knew that, but I don't have a car.
Oh, yeah, right. It's the other side of the world.
I'm like, sure, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, I'm always like taking my my little radio out and listening to the jazz station.
I used to
all the time.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
It's okay.
What is it? I forget what the one in Sacramento. I'm from the North California.
Yeah.
WJZ, I think it was.
Okay.
You probably know all that. You probably tour and know all the,
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget some of them. WBGO, I know very well because I lived here for so long, so I'm a
And we're
fan
old enough to
it.
Have listened to the radio.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think, yeah, I don't, I wish I could say I missed it, and I'm sure that there's a lot of hipsters out there that are going to, you know, say like, oh, I only listen to radio now.
Right,
I don't
listen
to podcasts.
Right,
I started.
Right.
It's really great. It's so, you know, immediate is what they're going to say.
Yeah.
I can already anticipate the pretension of whatever statement they're going to make about whatever old technology they're using.
Right.
But I didn't miss it because I just remember just listening and having to listen through so much crap. And then with the jazz stations and the classical stations, the news comes on. And then you're stuck listening to the news forever, which is fine.
Right.
But if I just want to listen to jazz, it's kind of tough.
Right.
I like Prairie Home Companion as much as anybody else. But let's go back to your music. When you were in New York, what were you? Were you studying here too, or
I wasn't studying. I just
came
moved
to play.
Yeah, I moved when I was 22.
How
and,
difficult was that move?
It was, you know, really intense. It was just like the stuff out of the movies when you know you. I flew into Newark and I was on a, you know, on the bus going into Port Authority. And
yeah, that thing.
Yeah. So it was very much like that. And actually my first apartment was right there on 43rd and 8th, you know.
So you
and it
stepped
was,
out into Port Authority.
Yes.
As yeah. your first.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's just dirty and greasy. And yeah, you love it. I loved it.
It was nuts. But and musically very intense. I mean, the level in New York is so high, and the level of competition is very intense. So I was inspired. I was intimidated. I got to, you know, tour with a lot of my heroes and, you know, play all the great clubs and concerts here in town. And, you know, I learned most of what I know from those years. And also I would freelance around town. So, you know, you might be playing at Lincoln Center one night and then you're playing at a bar, you know, down the block the next night, and just staying active and working with all sorts of people, you know, playing with singers, playing the organ clubs up in Harlem. And you never know what would come, you know. Then you do a wedding or
the organ clubs up in Harlem?
Well, Showman's is still there, and there was a club for a while that closed, but I used to play there every week, called the Robin's Nest. And it was named after an organ player named Preacher Robbins. And I used to play with him, too. And he was really great.
What do they have? They have, like, organs there?
Yeah, they have a, you know, B3 Hammond organ right on the stage. So.
Right, as opposed to a piano.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, so there used to be a lot of those, you know, in all parts of the country. It's kind of rare now to have a dedicated organ jazz room, you know. But I enjoyed those gigs quite a bit.
Yeah, that sounds like you're sitting there and you're going like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm living this, I'm in a movie.
Totally.
Very romantic life.
Yeah. And, you know, all the struggles too, trying to, you know, keep the rent paid and lots of big ups and big downs. You know, you might have a
Lincoln Center gig.
Well, yeah, you might have a big tour and, you know, you're doing that for a couple of years, and then that ends, and you're looking for something else, and that's always part of, you know, the freelancer's life. It's always kind of
up and down.
It's kind of there's a lot of volatility, but a lot of excitement, and you just never know what's coming next.
So, do you still have dips? You still have dips in work? I mean, you're a teacher now.
At this point, less. I think, you know, yeah. It evens out after you've been doing it. So I did my first, you know, international tours in 1999. So mm-hmm. I've got 20 years of a track record. So if things start looking slow, I can make some calls and rustle up some good stuff. And I'm also teaching. So that's kind of my number one priority.
That's your number one priority.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to balance the two, you know. But yeah, I mean, the nice thing is, I think every kind of 5-year period, it seems like it gets a little bit smoother, and you know more what's coming, and you have more of an established track record to fall back on. But you've always got to stay hungry, and you've got to keep on hustling, you've got to keep on practicing, because there's one thing that's for sure in this city is there's, you know, every day there's some guitarist coming from, you know, 2,000 miles away who's really coming prepared and intense and hungry. So you have to do the same all the time. So
yeah.
You can't rest. You can't rest on your laurels.
No matter how old you get.
Not in this business. Yeah. No way.
Yeah, they're going to get you.
And who would want to?
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that sort of the complaint of all the old people is... They're always looking for something to do. All the vacationers and all the...
right. Sounds like torture to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to keep on playing, you know?
Right. Yeah. When I see people with like loads of vacation photos on Instagram, I just want to go like, maybe figure something out. Maybe get a hobby.
Yeah,
and right. I'm sort of being funny, but I'm at the same time, I'm like,
yeah.
It is like a little concerning. You're just like, okay, well.
Right.
You know, are you going to move to Guatemala?
Right.
No, you're not. So why don't we figure out what you're doing here?
I
kind of feel like it's really special to have this. And even if you do have those downs and those ups and those downs, like most of the people listening to the show have.
Right.
It's sort of like you do have this certain currency, you know, that you can sort of exchange. You can sort of speak to special people like musicians and artists. And,
yeah, sure.
As far as moving away from the city, what, you know, I know that you obviously had the impetus to do that. Did you, were you getting married? Were you already married? Was it a personal decision? And then you figured out the Michigan State thing?
It was a combination. I was,
Cause that must've been hard. You might've been like, well, I've worked hard for these connections and I've got something going on here.
You're right.
I have the same fear about moving New York myself. Yeah, I'm like, what am I going to do in a place like that?
Yeah. It was definitely a really big decision and a huge pivot point for me. It has meant when I left New York, I was probably touring 3 weeks out of the month. I was just working all the time. And we had my son was one at the time. So I was, certainly the personal impetus is I wanted to be home more.
Where were you guys living?
We're living on the Upper West Side.
Okay.
Yeah. And our apartment was small and, you know, there were a lot of just thinking about the challenges of, raising our son. So, and I think also for me too, I was starting to get to the age where I found myself talking too much to younger musicians on the bandstand. I had a lot of ideas, because I was starting to not be the youngest person on the bandstand, even around town, I'd be playing gigs and I would have
How
a
old
lot
are you
of,
now? 40?
I'm 42.
Me too. Yeah.
And I had a lot of, I realized I had a lot of things that I had taken from my experiences touring with Benny Green or, the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra or Michael Bublé or different things that I'd done that I wanted to, it becomes kind of like an urge, an instinct. You want to start raising the next generation. So I was also, if you had asked me when I was 22, if I wanted to
teach
and told me I had to turn down gigs to teach, I would have said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. I don't want to do that. But, by my, mid late 30s, I was really wanted to do it. And I love it. It's a great fit for me. Everyone is always talking bad about millennials, but I think this generation is really dialed in.
I do too. Yeah. I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really care. They're aware of what's going on in the world. They're aware of their musical history, but they've got a devil may care attitude and they're willing to try stuff and go for it, musically, which is makes it exciting to, teach them. And then, I teach them with the goal of getting them on the bandstand with me. I'm trying to train colleagues. So.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting. And you're obviously relatively just getting this started. I mean, you're talking about 5 years in.
Right.
Essentially. Have you been able to, well, I guess, yeah, that's enough time with these people are college students. You've got them on the bandstand.
Well,
now.
This record that's there, that's all.
You said half
students.
Of them are.
Yeah, it's all the youngins and they're, I'm really proud of that session. I think it came out great.
Yeah, so. That must be an incredible feeling.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Really awesome.
What about, so is that, that's something too with the teaching is I primarily teach now and it took me, and I teach kids.
Yeah.
But I didn't appreciate it. When I started the show, even I complained about it a lot, and I still complain about it, but not nearly as much. I say like the last 3 years, I've really come to appreciate the ability to teach, and also just I think it's just the patience level has gone up.
Yeah,
as you get older, you just have more patience. You have more of an attention span.
That's true.
You're not constantly looking to be entertained.
Right. Right.
You know how to get some sleep.
Well, I'm working on that.
I mean, you got
I've
kids.
Got two kids, man. Sleep is, that's not happening
the
for
two,
me. But.
See, the two kids is what's killing my friend Mike, my best friend.
Yeah.
He is, and I'm embarrassed that I use that word best friend, and he might not like that. But the thing is that we've got, he's going crazy. Him and his wife are going absolutely insane. They're sleepless.
Right.
They just seem like insane. They don't seem like they seem like they've lost themselves. The first kid was one thing. Now baby Freddie is like 2 or 3 months old, and they've lost their shit. Is that what happened with you?
Oh, it is like mild.
I mean, I'm looking to save him.
Mild psychosis.
We were texting
all the time,
last night, like, and he was going crazy.
From
and I was
sleep
like,
deprivation. Yeah.
Should you see a therapist? Are you guys okay?
Right. He just needs a nap. That's all.
Is that all? Yeah, it's just got to be sleep deprivation.
Yeah, it is. It's that's all it is. Yeah.
he just needs a nap.
It's totally
and to move to Michigan.
It's totally worth it. It's great, and it's getting a little better. Our kids are mostly sleeping through the night now, so. It's getting easier, but you know they.
Yeah, one of them's like 7 or something, right?
Yeah, my son
the
is
1 year old who was here. Yeah,
my daughter's 2, so she still wakes up sometimes in the night. But we're getting through it, and we're having a great time. So
you are,
yeah.
And you got the parents. Her parents are there to help out,
and my parents too. Yeah,
and your parents too.
Yeah, they're both about an hour away. So
in opposite directions.
Yeah.
Okay, so you and this girl didn't grow up together. Is she a musician?
Right. No.
What does she do?
She's a poet.
My gosh.
She has the only career trajectory that makes
a little
this
Del
look
Arte
like,
out there in the middle.
Like fiscally sound.
Oh, she's making some cash with the poetry?
No, I'm saying that's the only thing only business worse than being a musician, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what you would do.
Right.
I see there's some people on the street here that do it, and they say, "Oh, give me $5 and I'll write you a poem."
Yeah.
That's the only time I've ever
that's
seen
funny.
It.
That's funny. But I'm joking. But yeah, we're both, she's artistic in that way. And, I think we relate on a deep level. In
very
that,
important.
You know, yeah. But, and she actually is very musical. Like if you asked her to she remembers melodies sometimes better than me, which is amazing. She's got naturally good ears, but she's not, you know, doesn't play anything.
She doesn't play anything. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's interesting that some people have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you guys can sing along? Does she sing? She remembers the lyrics and stuff?
Oh, yeah. She's really, really got a good musical memory. And I think my kids do too, which they might have gotten it more from her than me is the funny thing.
Would you want your kids to be musicians?
I would not push them towards it, but I do want to introduce them to it. I mean, for me, it's been the best thing ever. And
what are you going to do if they become the conservative bankers?
Right. Well, I'm gonna support them, and I'm gonna borrow some money.
Exactly. Dear old dad's. Yeah. You're like I can't really. No one wants to play with me anymore. I'm just now. I really am too old.
Right. Right. I would love it though if they wanted to be musicians, and I think it's a wonderful. A wonderful thing to do. I mean, it makes the world happy, and we need it. You know, we need it in our society. It really is. It's the most beautiful part of our world. So, and it's so much fun. I love, you know, I love everything I do. I love teaching. I love playing, and you know, I'll take the ups and downs that sometimes come with it, or the harder parts of the job. For me, the worst part is traveling. I mean, that's the.
It's hard being away from the kids and stuff.
Yeah, and even just, you know, getting to the airport and running around on trains and buses is, you know, that's exhausting. But that's the price you pay.
Are you going to the airport right now?
No, I'm not. I'm just not going to go back to Jersey. So that's why I brought my stuff. Yeah. I'm nomadic this weekend.
That's good, man. Where are you playing tonight?
I'm playing at Smalls.
Smalls in the city?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
Playing tonight and tomorrow night.
I think I'm supposed to go to that.
Oh, great. Awesome. That's great. Well, I'll see you there.
I'll try and make it. Yeah. Now I'm like, okay, because this wasn't on the calendar. I got to look at the calendar. It must be on there for next week or something.
That's funny.
Like that. Well, I mean, that's about it. Is there anything else that you'd like to sort of share with us before we hit the high road here?
I think that's great. I hope that people will check out the new record, and I hope they like it. And, feel free to reach out if you have any questions or need anything.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining me, Randy.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brett.
That does it for my time with Randy. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you'll support the show this new year by going to brettwilliamsmusic.com. Go to the podcast section and donate. You can also visit themusichistorypodcast.com. It's the only way to find the show, the new show, and check that out. Always Encoda. .com, savageclassical.com, and rosettapodcast.com/insider to support the show and support the people that support it. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you next time.